Hello, you are listening to Wellness Unfiltered Pro. The information provided in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and is not a substitute for independent clinical judgment or personalized patient care. The content is not designed to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, nor is it intended to direct patient management decisions.
Welcome to Wellness Unfiltered Pro Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Arland Hill, Director of Clinical Education for Biotics Research. Before I introduce our topic and professional panel today, I would like to acknowledge our sponsors, Biotics Research. Family-owned and operated for nearly 50 years, Biotics Research continues to revolutionize the nutritional supplement industry by utilizing the best of science and nature to create high-quality nutritional supplements. With a continued focus on innovation and the use of unique and clinically proven delivery systems such as emulsified nutrients, vegetable culture tableting base, and plant matrix minerals, Biotics Research continues to be a pioneer in the professional nutritional supplement industry. Systems, not silos. In our earlier conversations, we explored how individual glandulars may be used to support specific tissues and functions. But human physiology rarely operates in isolation. Endocrine health, immune balance, metabolic regulation, these are not single-thread processes. They are networks. When one system shifts, others quickly follow. This is where multi-glandular formulations come into play. And rather than targeting a single gland in isolation, these products are designed to acknowledge and support the interconnectedness of human physiology. They reflect a systems-based perspective, one that resonates strongly with the realities of clinical practice. In today's discussion, we'll look closely at how multiglandulars are formulated, the rationale behind their combinations, and how they may be applied in patient care. Our goal is to provide practical clarity, helping you see where these formulas fit within a broader therapeutic framework. Before we begin, allow me to introduce my colleague joining me for this conversation, Daniel Benning. Daniel is an experienced practitioner and functional medicine consultant that has been with Biotics Research for almost 30 years, covering Arizona and New Mexico. As we begin our discussion today, you will notice not only a shift into multigland formulations, but also application differences as well. Much of our prior conversations have focused on targeted physiological states or clinical scenarios. However, the products we will discuss today, while still applicable in this context, are also solid foundations for longer duration use. To delve further into the options available, I'm going to turn this over to Daniel for an introduction to two of our top multigland formulations, Neonatal Multigland and Biotrophic Plus.
Thank you, Dr. Hill, for that introduction. And I'm, we've done a few of these classes already. And like you said, we're going to kind of package it up to products that have longer term use, which this one we're going to talk about first off is the Neonatal Multigland. And my goal today is to kind of give you the what for scenario of how to apply these products. I know you're going to go a little bit more in depth into some of the components of the glandulars in these products. But I first want to talk about the neonatal multigland. You know, what the component of this product is just as it says, multigland. It's a broad spectrum organ and glandular concentrates, like it has spleen in it. Kidney, brain, liver, adrenal, thymus, and the pituitary hypothalamus, along with lung and intestinal. So let's refresh just a second for people maybe catching this as their first podcast with us. We're using tissues, in this case, from newborn animals. And when you think of this, they possess a high anabolic activity versus what's out there in the industry where they don't know the source of the material, or they're buying, as a visual, a 55-gallon drum of powder, and they don't have a clue where it came from. We are hand processing this material ourselves. We are working with contracted farmers for the material. And so when you have neonatal material, you've had minimal exposure to the environment stressors. or atrophy, like we think of with thymus gland, a neonatal thymus versus an adult thymus. Adult thymus is atrophying. Your fatty infiltration, there's not the tissue degradation. And I always like to talk about, because we have a great slide deck on this, is the lipofusion, the oxidative waste products that are found in these glands. You will not find that in the material we're using. So you're getting a very active material. And so that preserves, as we look at that material and we're hand processing that material, we're also, the way we process it, we're preserving enzyme activity and protein and polypeptide factors. So as just a kind of little small synopsis refresher from what we've discussed before. But where would you use a product like neonatal multigland with all those components? You're like, well, that's really not targeted. No, we're not being targeted per se in this. Think of your chronic fatigue patient, that the whole system has been taxed. Your chronic illness patient, where they have used every fiber of their being to keep going. You know, we talk about mitochondrial dysfunction or things, but if we support where they're depleted with the mitochondrial dysfunction, but if we support with glandular components to the spleen, the heart, the pancreas, the kidney, all of those components helps boost your body by feeding it the nutrients those systems are looking for. So it's that overall stressed individual that's just taxing their whole system. And so you're feeding the system, like I said, and you could think of dosing a product like this to BID to TID. But if you don't mind, I want to get into a couple little silver bullets as a refresher as well. You know, it takes me back a long time ago. There was a Dr. Charles in Arizona, and all he bought was a glandular component of spleen from us. And the spleen in this product is very important because, and I said, Dr. Charles, why are you buying just this from us at that time? And he goes, I use it for allergies. Because I know, Arlen, Dr. Hill, you're going to get more into the, you know, spleen material, but it's a central organ for immune influence on allergic response. And we're seeing such an uptick in mast cell activation, food allergy response, however you want to theorize that has happened. I know since 2020, we've seen a major shift in immune compromisation. And so this is a component of spleen, is really helping that component of the allergic response. The adrenal material in there, we've gone over this, but you know, when your adrenals basically are raisins on top of your kidneys because you've been so stressed at any level of just, you know, physiological, psychological stress, you are exhausted. And that weakens that and makes for that tired individual. So look for things like postural hypotensiveness. Look for people who wear sunglasses all the time because the light is too strong. Look for that patient who loves their caffeine all day long, the 3 o'clock Starbucks line. That's the adrenal patient often. And they're often an allergy patient too, because you look at the components of what the adrenal gland is doing. It's often a type A patient. I'm taking it off the tracks a little bit, but type A people are exhausted. They go, go, go. The liver tissue in there, I know I talked about it last time. Studies show it supports liver regeneration. Helps with chronic exposure to toxins. You're giving the peptides, the nutrients, to help the liver function more effectively. And again, this is a longer-term product. The thymus in there, non-hormone-secreting gland, great for immune boosting. Remember what I talked about with adult thymus, is we're atrophying, where we're using neonatal thymus, very active. And then we've mentioned last time pituitary hypothalamus. It's kind of that master hormone regulator. We talked about this person that's gone through an illness or they're chronically ill, we're feeding the nutrients to all these systems. So that's how I would look at neonatal multigland, as a food source of peptides and proteins and components to feed the glandular system.
You know, Daniel, when you talk about neonatal multigland, to me, as I'm sitting here thinking about what you're saying, this product in some ways becomes the climax of use of glandular material. Mm-hmm. I think practitioners go through this evolution where they start dipping their toes in the water with single glands, you know, cytosine AD, the adrenal glandular comes to mind as a good launching off point. And then they start seeing the success with it, and they begin to think a little differently about the application of glandulars. And then as that process continues to evolve for them, they think of how do glandulars fit into systemic scenarios. And this is where, rather than having to give a product, having to give multiple different products to accomplish that endpoint, a product like Neonatal Multigland or even Biotrophic Plus, those come into play. And again, I think of those as the evolution of the glandular journey, if you will.
Yeah, that's, thank you, Dr. Hill, for putting that into a better synopsis. That's exactly how I see it. You know, with Biotrophic, I have a long history with this product, Biotrophic Plus. So it's a low potency multivitamin, multi-mineral. It's kind of designed to mimic the amount of vitamins and minerals that are found in foods. And again, so here's the secret to this sauce. So this is a multivitamin with glandular components, with your B complex, with your vegetable culture minerals, more of a whole food multivitamin. The secret to this is what makes it different than the industry standard with a product like this is we're using non-hormone producing neonatal glandulars in here. So there's heart, there's kidney, there's liver and spleen, as we've just talked about many of them. But if you notice, there's not adrenal in here. And so this is a longer term, safe multivitamin classified as more of a whole food multivitamin with the lower amounts of the B complex. There are others in the industry, but if you look at their label, and you look at the other ingredients section, they're adding in non-whole food components. So I really want to make people aware of this, of really being conscious of looking at your labels and your sources. This product was developed by a mentor of mine. And I remember this being put together in his request for it because he had a long history of the industry of a product like this. I know, Dr. Hill, we've talked about this before. Like you said, it's that foundational component. I believe you've used it as your multi. It's part of my program. You know, not to get too far off the tracks, but it's my animals program. This is their multi. You know, this goes on their kibble and things of that nature. So it's a great source of consistent ingredients that are low potency to give you that food-based formula.
You know, Daniel, when you look at these, the one thing that has always stood out to me about Biotrophic Plus that I hope practitioners don't get misled by is that if you do a direct comparison of the quantity of some of the nutrients in there compared to what you might see on other labels for a multi, it looks like those levels are at a lower dose, but what I would encourage practitioners to recall on that is that you're also dealing with the active forms of these nutrients, so therefore you don't need the higher dosing. You know, just as an example on that, with riboflavin, we're not putting riboflavin hydrochloride in there. It's riboflavin 5-phosphate. So it is the phosphorylated form there. So worth noting, but I think to your bigger point here, Daniel, is that These are two products that practitioners that are interested in glandulars can think about as base formulations. You can literally start to build protocols around either one of those products.
Yeah, and that's how I look at this. And thank you for saying that, because often I get the question of, wow, those B vitamins are so low on that label. But like you said, they're the activated form, which the body can utilize much more efficiently. I like to dose it, you know, at 3 tablets to 6 tablets a day for the people that are listening in to get a concept of what the dosing looks like.
Yeah. Well, what I'd like to do now, Daniel, is I'd actually like to segue us over into Equifem, because I think Equifem's a pretty good transition product away from Neonatal Multigland and Biotrophic Plus, because it can serve some of those same elements, especially with what you see with Biotrophic Plus, where you've got a formulation that is both nutrients and glandulars in there. However, the primary difference here is that, as the name implies, Equifem, we're targeting the female population here. So let me just step back for a minute and again, redefine this. So this is a comprehensive source of nutrients that is truly targeted towards female endocrine health and function. There's vitamins in the product. There's minerals. You've got botanicals in here. You do have very specific organ glandulars that when you look at this label, and I'll detail these here in just a moment, you can see, oh, okay, that makes sense as to why I would want to include that with a female patient, especially if I'm interested in endocrine work. And these are very synergistic nutrients. So there's two ways to think about this product. One application would be to look at it as a general female multi. It does a very good job in that position, but it can also be used in more therapeutic applications as well. If you want to think about, for example, time frames like menopause or perimenopause, you know, where you're thinking into those late 40s, 50s, the time frame of life. But this could also be used in younger females where you're dealing with dysmenorrhea and truly any of the age brackets in between as well. Think about this product as being beneficial across the lifespan. It's not a product that's limited to one segment of the population, one age sector of the population. Now, let me detail these glandulars because, again, that's the overriding theme in what we're talking about today. So there's three glandulars that are in here. We've got the adrenal complex, we've got the lamb pituitary, hypothalamus in here, and we've got ovarian tissue as well. Let's break each one of these down. With regards to the adrenal complex, you're going to be looking at both adrenal medulla and cortex. And so if you think about that, there's hormonal components there, there's neurotransmitter components, and especially when it relates to the medulla, you're thinking modulation of the sympathetic nervous system. We know that chronic sympathetic responses are going to put such a significant drain on not just the adrenal tissue, but the nervous system as a whole. And if you're looking for increased secretion of dopamine, epinephrine, norepinephrine, we need these, but we don't need them to be in high demand. We need them to be operational at base levels on an ongoing basis, and that's what the presence of the adrenal complex helps achieve. So it has a stress regulation aspect from the nervous side. But remember, you've got the cortex here, which is now you're back into the hormones. And so we're predominantly thinking about hormones such as cortisol, DHEA, aldosterone. This is going to get us into things like electrolyte balance, modulating sodium and potassium. So if you think in dysmenorrhea, water retention, this can become a player here. Also, when you think about glucose modulation and the role that glucose can play both from a positive standpoint, but also if it's elevated, potentially having negative implications on the adrenal health, then we need to make sure that we can balance the impact on the adrenal gland as well. So adrenals are very important here as to just trying to set some foundation for the overall hormonal female endocrine balancing picture. But you'll remember that with pretty much all of these hormones that we talk about, they're all feedback loop driven. So we've got to make sure that there's a connection that's taking place between the hypothalamic pituitary region as well as the end target gland. The pituitary hypothalamic tissue, that's going to have an impact on governing several different body functions. There's a vast array of impact that the pituitary and the hypothalamic region have. But if we just think in relation to this particular product, you might think about regulation of body water, regulation of uterine contraction. You know, the hypothalamus, just to kind of have a top-down approach, the hypothalamus is almost exclusively in control of the pituitary, which is one reason you might just underscore why it is so important to have it in this product. But if we bring this back to female health, which is the theme of this product, the anterior pituitary is going to be responsible for secreting both your FSH and LH. And those two, as you will recall, have to interact with the estrogen and progesterone. So if we're looking for full ovarian function, well, you've got to have good pituitary function to be able to accomplish that. And then the last glandular in here would be the ovarian tissue. Ovarian tissue is going to be responsible for two hormones I just mentioned, progesterone and estrogen production. Let me talk about the real world application on this one. And I think this is where you really want to see the utility on this product, because even if you just back up to what I said, thinking about this as either a maintenance application or more of a therapeutic application, if we're thinking more maintenance type applications, one dosing can be adequate on this. So you can do 3 per day. You may find scenarios where 3 twice a day might be better in some maintenance application, but I think most female patients are going to be able to work with 3 per day. If you've got scenarios where there's not clarity on the menstrual cycle, maybe the menstrual cycle is too long, it's variable from month to month, or there's just an absence of menses, amenorrhea, then that may be where you would certainly want a base foundation like we're talking about with Equifem. And then if you're dealing with more therapeutic applications, this is where you could increase the dose. You could titrate around the menstrual cycle. For example, in the first half of the menstrual cycle, where the follicular phase, you may only dose 3 tablets per day, but then you go into the luteal phase, which is typically where more of your symptoms tend to manifest, especially as you get back closer to the menstruation again. And for that luteal phase, 3 tablets twice a day is likely going to be a better scenario if you have a specific target or endpoint that you're trying to reach towards. This is absolutely one of the most popular products for intervention and maintenance female health. And I know for me, it's become one of the products where when I'm working with females, and especially endocrine concerns with females, this is what I consider my base formulation that I start to build around.
Yeah, Dr. Hill, I just wanted to interject a little bit. The breakdown of that is absolutely spot on, because over the years of, you know, seeing this product used by many, many doctors, the subjective response I get and I hear about is how it helped regulate their hormonal cycle throughout the month with just such more of an even keel. One of my doctors in Arizona, who's now retired, but I remember him saying, his front office lady said, if we don't have it in stock, we have very upset women. So I just wanted to share that detail, because I like to share that the response we see is very, very positive with these products.
Yeah, and maybe to be a little bit jokingly here, no practice wants a practice full of unhappy female patients. That's not fun to have to manage from a business standpoint.
Yeah.
You know, and I think too, Daniel, it's probably worth acknowledging that. Just to make a quick connection here, many of you might be familiar with Hormone Balance and Protect and Receptor Detox, two very popular products that Dr. Lindsay Bergson formulated and that have been successful with Biotics. Dr. Bergson will also recommend Equifem as a foundation even around those products as well. So the Equifem pairs extremely well with those products if those are two that you're already accustomed to using.
Absolutely.
What I'd like to do now, and I think it's just an easy transition again, is move over to Cytozyme F. And the F in this scenario stands for female. We'll get to Cytozyme M momentarily, which is going to be for male. This is a Cytozyme F is a female gland combo, just to probably give the most simplistic context for this that I can. It's going to only contain glandular, so we're not looking at the nutrients or, for example, the vitamins or the minerals. Those aren't going to be in here. But you've got what I typically think about as two different segments of glandulars in here. You've got ovarian and adrenal glands, which of course are going to be important for hormone production and stress regulation, as we were just detailing. But then you also see the addition of spleen and thymus in here. And you may initially kind of question that and think, well, why are spleen and thymus in a product that is geared towards female health? And the answer to that, which I'll detail here, is that it directly impacts the immune endocrine interplay. There's also a blood vitality component to those two glandulars, especially where spleen is concerned, and then just general systemic resilience. So let me take, if you don't mind, each one of these glands and go into more detail here about why they fit so well into a product that is targeting female health. The thymus is going to, Daniel mentioned this earlier, as we age, We know that thymic atrophy is such a huge problem. And truly, unless you intervene to do something about that, you're going to succumb to that. That's just the true reality of that scenario. And the thymus is going to be important in the immune endocrine crosstalk. Remember, the thymus is central to your T cell maturation and your immune tolerance. When you think about immune tolerance, you also have to bring into that conversation estrogen and progesterone, because those are going to modulate immune activity. And remember, if we talk about autoimmunity, which is, you know, one of the overriding themes in the immune conversation right now, when you talk about autoimmunity, autoimmunity has a predisposition for females as compared to males. Males can certainly succumb, but females are in most scenarios at about a 4-to-1 risk compared to men. Why is that? Well, it's somewhat tied back to estrogen and progesterone and the modulation on the immune function, and then in turn, how that impacts activity with the thymus. So when you're supporting thymic tissue, that can help maintain that balance in the immune system, especially when you're dealing with these shifts in hormones. And when I say shifts, I'm talking about month to month or through the month, but also in regards to the various life stages as well. And so to that point of life stages, again, remember that the thymus naturally involutes with age. So it's just going to atrophy is really another way of saying that. And so when you think about going through perimenopause or mini menopause, and as those ovarian hormones are declining, well, there's the potential for immune dysregulation to increase as well. And so the thymus gland is going to theoretically provide some support through that transitional phase. And then just from a reproductive standpoint, pregnancy requires some very finely tuned immune tolerance to allow the fetus to be carried to term. If that doesn't happen, you certainly can run the risk of the immune system starting to attack the fetus. And we definitely don't want to see that. We know that even going through pregnancy, females are checked for various like Rh factor and these types of things. So you can see clearly that the thymus has a very key role here. Well, what about the spleen, right? This is the other one that we may kind of initially question. And this comes down to blood and iron balance. So beyond just recycling red blood cells, the spleen is going to act as a reservoir for the platelets, and that can begin to influence the hemodynamics. So when a female is menstruating, she's having blood loss in the couple of days a month there, the spleen is going to be supportive and helping to recover. And it's one of these historical uses for blood vitality and just general recovery. There's an immune modulation. Daniel mentioned this earlier as it tied into allergies, but your spleen is your largest secondary lymphoid organ. So when you're trying to filter out your different bloodborne pathogens, and again, just trying to maintain that vitality, trying to optimize the immune function through these hormonal fluctuations, the spleen function is going to underpin resilience to make sure that that's adhered to. And even if we step back from what I'm trying to give you is more detailed scientific perspective on this, and you just look at this from a very traditional view, Chinese medicine, or even European herbalism, what you'll find is that the spleen has always been regarded as the organ related to blood building, to vitality, to just general reproductive strength. So, you don't necessarily need to look at it from that classic biomedical viewpoint, or maybe the what we think about today is the biomedical viewpoint. You can just think traditional about this and really get the same endpoint with it. Dosing for this product, if you're looking at maintenance, one, twice a day may be sufficient there. However, if you want to think interventional is going to require a higher dose at 2 twice a day or even 2-3 times a day. And understand that, when you're up against autoimmune conditions, when you're dealing with some dysmenorrhea or even an amenorrheic patient, then you're probably going to have to be, you may even need to be more aggressive. You're just going to have to really be the clinician and observe the patient and see how the patient responds to the initial dose that you set forth. And this could also be an option if for some reason there's some ingredient in Equifem that may not be an ideal choice for the patient, then you always have this as a secondary product to be able to turn to. And maybe just a last kind of side note here is that this does contain SOD and catalase, right? Your primary endogenous antioxidants. And we know that in most of these scenarios that I've been laying out here, inflammation is going to be an underlying theme. And SOD and catalase are going to help target that. So, let's move over to cytosine M. I mean, that just makes sense. We talk about the female product. Let's talk about the male gland combo here, cytosine M. And in this one, orchic and adrenal tissue. We talked about cytosine orchic in prior conversations. So again, you're thinking pretty logically there that both of those, the orchic and the adrenal tissue, are going to be responsible for hormone production and stress adaptation. But again, you come back to this conversation around the thymus and the spleen. And if you really think to what I just shared with you, I really intentionally shaped that up in a very female context. But now we're talking about a male product, so there has to be a bit of a different positioning on this. And indeed, there is. The spleen and the thymus, just at a high level, are going to be associated with that immune endocrine blood connection, thinking about these various axes throughout the body and how they all integrate. So this is where the spleen and the thymus come in. The thymus specifically, testosterone has the ability for immunomodulation as well. So it can start to dampen some of the immune responses. And in this scenario, dampening is not a bad thing. It's not suppression. So don't confuse those two terms. We're just dampening and making sure that the immune system is not overly responsive. So when you think about that androgen immune connection, when you support thymic tissue, that's also in the male patient balancing that T cell activity. Just like you ran into with women, and again, this is male, female, this is across the board, the thymus is going to atrophy. I know we've probably said that four or five times already now, but it is such an important point not to overlook. And it's one of those things that if you're dealing with immunologically challenged patients, you really have to ask yourself, what's the vitality of that patient's thymic tissue? And whether you come in with a product like cytosine M for your male patients, cytosine F for your female patients, or even if you need to get more targeted with the cytosine thigh, this definitely needs to be on the radar. And we also see a problem in our society now as a whole where men are just not as fertile as they have been in decades gone by. And so as it relates to fertility and autoimmunity, thymic activity influences immune tolerance, which is relevant for overall reproductive health. So that may be a spin there for your male patients. What about the spleen? So the spleen is going to be associated with general blood vitality, oxygen delivery, thinking about things like stamina, endurance, sexual performance. These are all key things that every male patient wants to be able to maintain for as long into their lifespan as they can. When we look at immune support, the spleen is going to anchor these systemic immune defenses against various pathogens. But it's also going to help modulate that stress adrenal load in making sure that that load isn't too much to endure over time and doesn't start to compromise overall immune function. And just like I said, with the female patient, there is a traditional medicine perspective here where the spleen is the source of vitality and resilience. And maybe if you don't take anything away from this conversation with spleen, maybe that's the thought process, is that I'm just trying to hit the vitality button for all my patients. And that's one of the ways that I can do that most efficiently. Simple on the dosing on this. Just think with a maintenance application, one twice a day intervention, two twice a day, or two, three times a day. And this does include the SOD and catalase. So Daniel, with those combination products in place there, we've got one more combination here that we need to hit, which is Numazyme. So why don't you take that one?
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Hill. I got to tell you, as I'm listening in here, you know, my vitamin cabinet's quite full, but I think it just grew with the applications you apply to these products. And I know, you know, we're trying to educate and excite people. And I know I'm just like, oh, I need to put that on my list to order, you know. And I want to add to the people that are listening in is I hope you take this information and think of the applications processes. Like so many of my doctors, brilliant physicians, are using exogenous hormonal therapy for their patients. And a lot of these, I feel, can be applied with that. My thought line is, with the exogenous hormonal therapy, all we're going to do is help them work better because we're going to support the systems that are already at play here. And that's my thought line of utilizing some of these, as you've mentioned.
Yeah, Daniel, that's such a great point to bring up. And we see this with a thyroid product sometimes where there's this concept or thought process, maybe better stated, of which one do I choose? And I think that is the wrong question to be asking here, period. And this applies to the entire endocrine system, as you're alluding to. It's really more about how can they serve as adjuncts to each other and not one versus the other.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So let me segue into Numazyme, which became a product much more in my vision, as I said, around 2020, when we were, you know, having people having this respiratory issue from a virus. And what is Numazyme? It's a source of neonatal bovine lung tissue. Not maybe the first line product, as we've discussed, that people might think about for lung support. A lot of people think about N-acetylcysteine and things of that nature. But you're supporting, again, from a glandular component for healthy lung function. You know, that tissue is helping nourish the bronchial and helping nourish the lungs from a mild perspective with these people with chronic respiratory conditions. What do you have in this product is you have your antioxidant support. You have vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin E. You have bioflavonoids in there. Again, an antioxidant support. But also, if you look at the bioflavonoids, could be, you know, anti-inflammatory. So this became on my radar when one of my dear customers up in Prescott, Arizona, in the early 2020-21 and stuff, started saying, going through a lot of Numazyme. And I had to call her and say, where or how are you applying this? And she said, Daniel, I just have to support these people that are having these lung conditions where, yeah, all the other factors are helpful, but I'm getting a better response, as we were talking about, like using the glandulars for the hormonal therapy. They're getting a better response in their lung conditions when we added this into the program. So you think of it for even longer acting lung issues, for asthma, you know, COPD. I'm not saying we're treating conditions here at all. I'm saying we're supporting these processes because just like any other system, they're getting taxed. They're getting wore out from a chronic cough, from, you know, chronic asthma and inhaler use. Let's support that system as best as we can using, again, neonatal lung tissue. So it's neonatal. We've got it. It's very vibrant. It's not been exposed to the pollution, you know, like we see in our environment so much so. So a wonder foundational lung, again, support component.
Yeah, that is really such a unique product. And when you think about typical applications for lung, are generally not as direct as this product can be. They're usually trying to address a systemic approach, which obviously you need to be able to do that. That is certainly important. I mean, that's a concept that we practitioners always try to apply from a nutritional functional medicine direction. But there's just not many other products in the space that are as direct towards the lung tissue as Numazyme can be. Daniel, we've got two additional products that I wanted to make sure that in this bigger glandular conversation that we've been having here, that we didn't exclude these two. These have come into conversations that we've had prior and that we will have. So I don't feel that there's a great need to detail these, but at this point anyway, but I do want to make sure that we put these on practitioners' radar. So the first one, if you will, Daniel, is going to be Biocardiozyme Forte.
Yeah, you know, a longstanding formula for biotics research. It was in my wheelhouse many, many years ago. And there's the thought line of application is just heart, you know, healthy cardiovascular support. I look at it as the multivitamin. If you're in a family with a family history of cardiovascular concerns, this is a great multivitamin to apply for your program. You know, it's a loaded, wonderfully loaded multivitamin with this, you know, the vitamins, the minerals, the amino acids. There's some botanicals in there. You know, you look at the amount of taurine in there, 50% of the amino acids in the heart tissue is taurine, helping with, you know, calcium homeostasis, which impacts contraction and relaxation. There's carnitine fumarate in there, which, you know, fumaric acid, part of the Krebs cycle. So we're helping with, you know, energy there. Carnitine helping supply the fuel for the source of energy. But again, a great multi as prevention support. I look at using about four a day as you know, we always kind of said we can adjust from there to the patient's compliancy, but you still have to get a therapeutic dose. So what we label as a therapeutic dose is four capsules a day. Moons ago, when I was in a clinical setting and we used to do a lot of wonderful IV therapy for cardiovascular patients, this was our multivitamin of choice for those patients to extend the process of what we were doing with the IV until their next IV. But if you have an athlete, you know, doing a lot of, you know, cardio work, this is a great supportive multivitamin.
Yeah, it clearly serves multiple applications, which is why I wanted practitioners to make sure that they knew about this one and think about maybe where this one fits into their product delivery at. The last one that we're going to talk about today is ADB5+. And since we're telling stories here, I'm going to tell a quick story around this one. The first official Biotics meeting that I ever sat in, Dennis DeLuca, one of the owners of Biotics, was going around the room and he just gave everybody an opportunity to say what, if they had a wish list of products, what they would like to see added to the Biotics research line based on feedback at that time, what would it be? And at that point, having a personal history in the clinical setting of running micronutrient tests and seeing patients with B vitamin deficiencies, but more specifically B5 deficiencies, I was thinking, well, I'd really like to see a product that's a high dose B5. And I just haven't come across that in the line. And I remember when it came my turn, I stood up, I said that I would be interested in that product. And one of the gentlemen that was sitting two seats over from me turned around and looked up at me and said, all you need is ADB5+. And I said, oh, okay, well, noted. And I, you know, sat back down. But I thought about what he said, because I was thinking, you know, if this guy, I looked at the label and I saw 75 milligrams of B5 in there, but I did see these other components. And I thought there's got to be another way of thinking about this that I'm missing here, as opposed to just driving in these high amounts of B5. And when I say high amounts in this context, I'm thinking at least 500 milligrams of B5. And as I look at this product, this was, to me, Cytozyme AD, meaning that we had the adrenal glandular component, but there were some other key nutrients that were adrenal related, if you will, as we typically think about these. I did still see the B5. I mentioned 75 milligrams in there, and that was, as I looked at this, that should be enough to be able to support steroidogenesis. And when I looked at the other B vitamins in there, acknowledging the fact that these are often depleted in ongoing stress, I thought, you know what, let's give this a try and see if this makes sense. And so I started putting it to the test with patients and rerunning these micronutrient tests or running these micronutrient tests on new patients. And lo and behold, he was right. It started correcting those B5 deficiencies. And so what that told me is that these glandulars, the inclusion of these glandulars, were reducing some of the nutrient demand because of how they were directly supporting the target tissues that prior I had just been trying to support through only the application of individual nutrients there. Some of you are probably interested in, well, what kind of dosing are you using on that? Well, I would typically dose this at 2 twice a day. That is still to this day my starting dose for this product. And I personally like to give this product at breakfast and lunch. Some patients do completely fine with this product at breakfast and dinner, but you'll run into that occasional patient every now and again that can be a little sensitive to that later day dosing on this. So just to avoid that altogether, I've just gone to dosing this with just breakfast and lunch. But yeah, put ADB5+ on your radar for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a lot of what people call their M&Ms in the morning. They need those tablets to get the day going.
Yeah, no doubt. I think we can appreciate that sometimes. So, guys, this concludes our three-part exploration of supplemental nutritional glandulars, from understanding the historical foundation and single gland applications to today's focus on multi-glandular formulations. Our aim has been to bridge both theory and practice for you. As you reflect on this series, we encourage you to consider not only the science, but also the clinical context, how these strategies may complement the broader care that you provide. For practitioners, the promise of glandular therapies lies in its ability to meet the body where it is. You deal with these complex scenarios where you need nutrients and products that can be both adaptive, but also can connect the dots of what's going on with that patient. And today's the products that we talked about in today's presentation certainly can check those boxes for you. We hope that these discussions have given you a practical insight and perhaps renewed an appreciation for the role that targeted nutritional strategies can play in supporting overall human health. So thank you for joining us for this series on glandulars and continuing the conversation on how nutrition can support optimal function. If you are looking for additional information on any of these products or resources mentioned in today's show, please reach out to your local representative or the home office. And in closing, Daniel, I want to thank you for your willingness to share your time and experience to help all of us become more versed in the appropriate application of biotics research products. And we all appreciate you being a part of today's podcast and hope you will join us again for another episode of the Wellness Unfiltered Pro Podcast.